Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Sean Patrick Maloney, let's talk about no labels. It's an interesting concept. What does it mean?
Well, what it means is there are now 80 members of Congress, 40 Republicans, 40 Democrats, I'm one of them, who have come together and said, look, there's a lot of stuff we can agree on that shouldn't be some big partisan food fight, that shouldn't be this red team, blue team thing. Things like saving money, the way the Pentagon buys things, and what's called strategic sourcing that all big corporations do. Things like, you know, the way the government spends money on travel. A lot of things to do with waste and fraud and abuse. You know, things like the federal judiciary that I think we ought to be all out of support. You know, there's a lot of things the government does that doesn't have to be caught in this partisan gridlock. And so our simple idea is, if we start with the things we can work together on instead of the things that cause us to fight, maybe we'll get some things done and we'll be tired at the end of the day and we won't have time to fight. And if we start with things that are a more moderate size, that are achievable, like the ones I just mentioned and some others, then we'll get in the habit of working together. And then on some of the bigger stuff that's more difficult, we'll at least have some relationships again and some trust. And that's all no labels is. We've got a big chapter in Westchester. I think it's a good idea. Look, I'm a Democrat, and I believe in the principles of the Democratic Party. But what no labels is saying is we've got to work together on solutions.
So let me be inappropriately cynical for a moment.
Sure.
It seems to me, which is what I do, that people from competitive districts who are trying to pull the opposite party over the line will be more receptive to this kind of bipartisan, no labels approach than will be somebody from a safe district. Is that just too cynical?
No, I don't think it's cynical at all, but it leads me to say, why don't we have more competitive districts? In other words, the problem is not that people, some of us in Congress, have to worry about losing our jobs because we represent a district where we have about the same number of Republicans and Democrats. I think that's a good thing. I think we should have to listen to everybody.
Well, no, you've made that clear in the past, Sean, but I'm thinking that you say we have to have more competitive districts. What in the world makes you think that state legislatures would draw these lines for every kind of partisan advantage are ever going to listen to you?
Well, some states do. You know, some states use a nonpartisan process. They let a judge do it. Actually, a judge did it here in New York, and it's a little more fair, but we could do some better things. But the fact of the matter is that I'm glad you raised this, because we are at a point in America where unless ordinary Americans, express themselves and let their representatives in Washington know that they're sick of this fighting and this gridlock and this partisan political game playing, we're never going to get anywhere. So, you know, I can't do it. I'm just one guy. I've been in Congress 10 months. But the American people can do it, and they have to stop sending people to Washington who won't work with anybody they disagree with. They have to stop allowing their state legislatures to draw political districts to satisfy some political gain, because we need people in Congress to be more responsive. They have to worry about losing their jobs. They have to get up every day and listen to everybody and come up with solutions, you know, or else. And right now, far too many folks in Congress are just too comfortable, and they don't feel like they have to listen to anybody they disagree with.
Well, we agree on that, but I'm trying to think about the logistics of the fix. Can you go to the Speaker Silver and say to him, now, Shelley, why don't you get together with Dean Skelos and fix it so that each of these districts is competitive? They'll look at you like you're nuts.
Well, if there have been times before in our state's history and in our federal history where things had to get pretty bad before we got a good reform.
Agreed.
I think we're one of those places. You can't leave it up to the people who benefit from these insider deals. The people got to say, look, we're going to stop electing people who are more worried about their own political standing than our welfare. I mean, and at the end of the day, you know, you can't let citizens off the hook. Ordinary citizens have to vote, and they have to care about who they put in office, and they got to watch what they do. And I do think we are at a place where people are so disgusted with this political game playing in Washington. I hear it every day, that they are willing to think differently about why it's happening and how to fix it. And so all I can tell you is I'm out there every day supporting things like citizen-funded campaigns to get this money out of politics because it's killing us. nonpartisan redistricting, so we get fair elections where it's a real competition. You know, voter access, so we make sure everybody gets to vote, and we don't play games with people's access to the polls. And we need a new commitment to democracy in this country. And then we'll see who wins.
But you're a leader. That's what you're calling for, leadership. But do you have the strength to get Shelley Silver or Dean Skelos on the telephone and say, you got to do this? Because if you don't, the next time it comes around, God knows, maybe that guy's been a pain in the rear. We're not going to draw a nice district for him.
Well, what happened last time is the court ended up drawing him in New York. And so in New York, we do not have districts that have been drawn by, you know, the politicians in Albany.
Do you think judges aren't politicians? They don't take their clues from people?
It's one step removed. All I'm saying is that in New York, we have more competitive seats in New York. People may be surprised to know this, particularly outside the city. Mm-hmm. We have quite a few competitive districts in New York. I'm in one, and there are four or five others. That's not bad, to tell you the truth.
No.
But I'd like to see them everywhere. And look, sign me up. I mean, I think what's going to happen over the next 10 years before the next census and before the next redistricting process is I think you're going to see a lot of groups and a lot of citizens say, we got to do this better. We've got to make sure that we're sending people who will represent us.
You're going to hate me for this, but I have to say it. Governor Cuomo announced that he was going to veto any bill that didn't have an outside group drawing these districts. He said it, but then in the end, he didn't do it. There was a golden opportunity, wasn't it?
Well, I think the governor's been part of the solution on this. I think that the governor is in the right place and would do even more if he had more partners. But look what happened. I mean, what happened is that the governor's position ended up driving it to a court that did a pretty independent job. I mean, I can tell you, if the Democrats were running the show, my district could have been a lot easier for me. I mean, I'm sitting next to districts that got a lot more Democrats in them, and this one is, you know, 50-50. If anything, it leans a little Republican. So I'm sort of living proof that the fix wasn't in, certainly for the Democrats. But I won this district because I'm listening to everybody and because I'm working on solutions. And if more members of Congress had those pressures on them of not being able to write off people on the left or on the right, then it would be a better country. You know, we got too many guys that are worried about a primary and they just end up getting more conservative. They end up getting more liberal. I like people who can listen to both sides.
Would you like to be in the majority for once?
Sure. Why not? Sounds like fun.
No, but if you're in the majority, you get a chance to really make some change. Now you got to go down there on Monday or Tuesday, and you've got to hold your head. You got to say, "Oh God, I got to listen to these guys. We can't get a bill in the floor." You know.
I tell you, I don't, and let me tell you why. I've actually gotten, you know, two pieces of legislation passed in just the last couple of weeks. I'm about to get a third one. We're going to have better dam safety inspections in the Hudson Valley. I'm working on lessening these disability wait times for veterans, because veterans are waiting way too long to get their disability claims heard. I got a bill that I passed on that. And we're going to have a third piece of legislation, I think, in the Farm Bill, which I think we can get done, that'll reform crop insurance for folks who really need better coverage in the Hudson Valley. So why I'm being successful in getting bills passed, even in a divided Congress, is because we're focusing on the doable. We're focusing on solutions. And I'm going to let other people have this food fight on MSNBC and Fox. I don't see that as my job.
It's always wonderful to have Sean Patrick Maloney with us. Sean, I always love it when you show up, and you always do. And we have these kinds of conversations. When I come up, I want to ask you about NSA, okay?
No problem. Thanks, Alan.